Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, three, testing.
Amen, brother. I'm here.
Man, amen, brother. All right, brother. God bless you. God bless you. We all in.
God bless
you. Watchman on the wall. Watchman on the wall. This is Elder G. Bazard. This is Elder. Give me your first name. I'm going to go by your first name. I keep on forgetting.
Amen. It's all right, Brother Tim.
Could I call you Elder?
Yes, sir. That's fine.
Elder
yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
God coming to you from Watchmen on the Wall, End Time, Global Link Ministry, giving you good news, nothing but good news, nothing but good news. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And he's coming back again to get a church without a spot or a wrinkle. And our job is me and the brother out of Texas. We're gonna discuss scriptures. We're going to tell you what's going on in the world today through the Word of God. We don't go outside the Word of God. We don't go over the Word of God. We don't go to the side, to the right. We go straight through the Word of God to let you know
Amen.
What's getting ready to happen on this planet. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. But while he's getting ready to come back, our job is to give the last message according to the church age. Amen. We are living in the last church age, and we are unctionally, we are determined, we are proclaiming, we are trying to explain what's getting ready to happen to the planet and what's in store for the saints of God and what's in store for the lost. The lost is in a condition that the only way that they can be pleasing to God to accept the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I didn't say just go to church. I didn't just say amen. I said you must repent. You've got to repent. You need to repent. Turn from your sins. Turn from your lifestyle. Turn from your wicked ways and things that you think, and put your mind, put your heart, put your spirit up on the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is the only one. He is the unique one. He is the ultimate one that suffered and died on Calvary's cross for the remission of our sins. And that man was Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God Almighty. I said Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. He was manifested
Amen.
In the flesh, seated, justified by the Spirit, buried. He died, buried, put in the grave, and on the third day morning he got up out of the grave on his own power and ascended into heaven, and he's been gone from this planet for 2,000 years, and the 2,000 years are up. Amen. It's just on God's time. It's not our time. 2,000 years
Amen.
Up. And Jesus Christ is giving us mercy and goodness because he's the on-time God. He may not come when you want him, but I'll tell you one thing about God. He's always on time. And we are
Amen.
Here to tell you and discuss the Word of God and give you an insight on what's getting ready to happen to this planet. And a lot of people say, well, it looks pretty good now because the coronavirus, it seems like it's letting up a little bit, but it's not the coronavirus. Amen. I'm concerned about salvation of your soul. Don't die. Don't leave this planet, wherever you are, whoever you are. Don't leave this planet without Jesus Christ in your life. If you do, the Word of God says that you will be lost, eternally separated from God forever in a lake of fire burned with brimstone. Buddy, that's the ultimate call. I ain't worried about
Amen.
No coronavirus. I'm not worried about catching it. I'm not worried about the vaccination.
Right.
What I'm concerned about is the salvation of your soul. And that's what me and Brother the Elder is going to discuss this evening and this afternoon. So you stay tuned on your radio. Stay tuned on your internet. Stay tuned on your iPad or whatever you got that you can get a hold of the Word of God. And at this time, amen, as I introduce myself, Elder G. Bazard from Warren, Ohio, we're preaching the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, holding up the bloodstained banner. And I'm going to give it over to the elder, and he's going to take it on from there, and then he's going to come back with me, and we're going to have prayer, and then we're going to get into the Word of God as hard as we can, as deep as we can. because you need to know what's getting. Elder, go ahead and take it from there. Amen.
Amen, brother. Amen. Awesome, awesome. Amen, brother. It is a blessing to be in the land of the living, to still be here, to have this opportunity, brother, to have this gift. I am grateful and thankful to the Most High for saving my soul and for instilling this in my life and in my spirit, his word, his love, salvation. I am grateful for you, brother, amen, for mentoring and teaching me and showing me some things, brother. I'm grateful for meeting you, amen. It was ordained that we meet one another,
amen,
that we may do this ministry and preach the true gospel to the world.
The true gospel.
Amen,
yes.
The true gospel. Amen. Right now, amen, I've been hearing rumors about they've been spotting bonkers, amen, bonkers here in Texas, amen. They got them spreading them out throughout the country, amen, getting ready for something. Amen. Did you just hear what I said?
Uh-huh.
Getting ready for something. Amen.
Yes, sir.
They're getting ready for something that's about to happen, not only just in the U.S., in this country, but on this entire planet. Amen. They're distributing bonkers throughout the world. Amen. They're sending them all over to Babylon. And if you remember, I told you what Babylon is in Revelation 17th chapter. Amen. Babylon sits on many waters. That means all these countries, these governments, these continents that serve and worship Lucifer, preparing his leadership. His leadership, not the people. They don't care about the people. They're preparing his leadership for what's going to happen. But I'm here to tell you, amen, I don't care how nice those bunkers look. I don't care what they made out of. They can be made out of titanium steel. It will not matter. Because what's coming on this earth, you can't buy enough bullets for. You can't get a big enough gun for. A big enough tank.
Amen.
Aircraft.
Amen.
Aircraft carrier. You can't get a big enough nuclear bomb. You can't do nothing against the spirit. Amen. You ain't prepared for what's about to hit this planet. And that is why Christ is going to take the church out of this world before the great tribulation. You keep hearing this nonsense
that
folks are talking about that the church is going to be here. No, the church will not be here. Those that are preaching that must be preparing themselves to be here, which tells me that they must not be saved. Because if they were saved, they would not be preaching that. Amen. The church will not be here. Amen.
Come
we will
on,
not
preacher.
Be here. The church has suffered 2,000 years of tribulation.
Yes.
And you can cram that 2,000 years of tribulation that was on the church into 7 years and multiply it. And you still can't imagine what's going to hit this planet. Amen. Judgment is coming. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Judgment is coming to this world. These people that are out here, oh, man, Lord have mercy. You all just don't know what's going on behind the scenes. The stuff that I've been seeing and hearing, kidnapping little kids, children are missing. You go into any Walmart and the wall is just filled up with children missing. How can the children be missing when we got satellites that flood our skies, that got a net over this planet that can see all the way down to a very penny or corn on the ground, and you can't tell me they can't find these children? Man, let me tell you something. The judgment of God is fixing to hit this planet, and these people are going to be judged for the things that's going on, the raping, the killing, the molesting, the child trafficking, the sex trafficking, the drugs trafficking. The government's all intertwined in all this mess, and they know what's happening.
Sir.
They know what's going on. And I can tell you right now, judgment is coming. And if you think you're going to be able to hide on some, if you think you're going to be able to leave the planet, go deep in the ocean, go deep in the earth, I got something for you, brother. Hey, man, I got something for you, sister. You cannot run, nor can you hide. Amen. The Bible says, who shall be able to stand? No one can stand when the wrath of God hits this planet. Amen.
Lord,
amen. The saints used to sing a song. I remember when I was a child, my dad and them, and the saints used to sing a song, who will be ready? Amen. Will you be ready when Jesus come, when Yahshua come? Will you be ready? See, that's the point. See,
come
you
on.
Get saved, you don't have to worry about none of that. I keep hearing these people talking about the mark of the beast. We won't even be here We'll be gone 3.5 years prior to that even getting the planet. We will be out here. The Church of Laodicea, then I'm going to shut it down and get back to you, bro. The Church of Laodicea, as the minister elder said, is the last church. We are in that last church. Amen. And one of the criticisms of that church, amen, was that they need to be faithful. There were some things that they need to clean up. But one of the rewards was, now watch this, the rewards was that they would get to sit with Christ. Did you hear what I said?
Come on.
They would get to sit with Christ. That means that when the church is raptured and gone home, guess what the 24 elders were doing in Revelation, the fourth chapter? They were sitting.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my gosh, you not hearing. They not ready for this. They were sitting around the throne of God. If you are found worthy in this last church age that's alive, your reward would be that you would get to sit, oh, my
Hallelujah.
God, around the throne, the heavenly throne with our Father. You better be ready for what's about to hit this planet. You can buy all the books. My brother was just saying just the other day, he said, still in the city where he's at, they still cannot get bullets or guns. I said, brother, with salvation, we won't need that. We won't need no bullets.
No.
We don't need to prepare for what's coming.
No.
All we need to prepare for is the return of Christ. This is why he said to watch.
Amen.
You watch.
Amen.
I'm coming back to get you, and you don't have to worry about what's coming. That's why Paul said,
hey,
brother, if these things to you I need not write unto you. Amen. Because why? It's not going to affect us one way or another. We will be gone back with Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And we thank
Amen.
The Most High for his word. We thank him for his son. We thank him for salvation. But I give it back to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. Let me tell you something, brother. Not only that, but the cyber attacks that Russians are cyber attacking the United States. The meat factories and the oil companies, all these big companies, to put America in a condition in which they will have to come a third-rate country because, number one,
that's right.
The reason why America is becoming a third-rate country because America, amen, have turned their back on the Almighty God. Almighty God. It's not the church. It's the Americans' theology and Americans' the way of life, and they want to live not according to the word of God. And America has turned their back on God. Got a few Christians here in America, a few born-again believers. Amen. He's got some people who will stand up, and I'll let you know, and I believe, brother, the elder will know, amen, we're going to stand up for the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're not going to compromise. We're not going to pat you on the back. We're not going to take you to a Red Lobster and sit you down at a dinner and tell you everything is all right, because it's not all right. And for as the church,
right.
the body of Christ, the ministers need to get on the ball and seek the Lord and pray and let the world know we're getting ready. Amen. Amen. The world is getting ready to enter into the seven-year tribulation, which is the seventh week spoken by Daniel the prophet. And as the brother said, the church, the body of Christ, the called out ones, the sanctified ones, those that are in the world but not of the world, born again believers. Amen. And they are going to be missing from this planet pretty soon. It ain't going to be long. Whether it's morning, night, or noon, the church will be caught up in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to explain it. I'm here to explain it. I'm not playing. The word of God is not playing. Brother Elder's not playing. This is serious business, because I tell you one thing you don't want to do, you don't want to leave this planet without accepting Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because if you do, you burn in hell. And I'm not saying that out of hatred. I'm not saying that out of resentment. I'm saying that out of love. You're going to burn in hell. Please, whatever you do. I'll put up the sign. I'll stand on the side of the road and tell you Jesus saves. He's the only one that can save your soul from sin. Because if you die in your sins, you have to pay for your sins. And if you pay for your sins, guess what? The payment of sin is death. Death means to be separated from God forever, because God cannot put up with sin in heaven no more. Ooh, listen to what I'm saying. Satan will never enter the kingdom of God. And those that follow Satan, those that believe in the theology and the doctrines of Satan and the devil and resist the blood of Jesus Christ and deny the blood of Jesus Christ and don't want let Christ come into their life, they got to pay for your own sins. And that is everlasting torment in the lake of fire. That goes for all preachers, all deacons, all sisters, all teenagers. Oh, my God. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him shall never perish, shall never see hell, shall never pay for their own sins because they let pay for their own sins. Just before we get into prayer, I'm going to let the audience know that what we'll be talking about, we'll be talking about the rapture of the church. We'll be talking about the Antichrist, which is alive today. He's waiting in the room. Amen. He's old enough now to become the dictator of the world. He has enough experience. He's alive, waiting for the moment and period where he will come on the scene. We will talk about the 144,000 Jews that's going to preach the gospel. Listen. After the church is raptured up, God's going to send 144,000 Jews. Why? Because the church and 144,000 Jews will not be on earth at the same time preaching the gospel. The church has fulfilled its ministry for 2,000 years, and now the removal of the church, after the removal of the church, God's going to give Israel the rim. God's going to give Israel the power. God's going to give Israel the message to let the world know that the Christ that they rejected for over 2,600 years, this is the one that's going to come back and set up the millennial kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Won't you say amen? He's going to set up the millennial kingdom at the end of the seven-year tribulation, and we're going to rule and reign with Christ forever and ever and ever, and we're going to partake in the blessed hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about Russia and Israel, because Russia is planning to make an attack upon Israel any day now. Ooh, my God, my God. If you study the news and look at the Word of God, it matches up exactly what the Word of God said it would happen. Amen. Then we're going to talk about the chip, the mark of the beast, which coronavirus has brought it into executive order, that there's a day coming when it's going to be recommended for you to receive a mark on your right hand or on your forehead. And the coronavirus, amen, was a gateway for the government to say, now, in order for you to go anywhere, go overseas, or anywhere in the world, or even in another state, you must be vaccinated, because this vaccination protects other people from you getting the vaccination. So when the mark of the beast comes, it's going to be on a different situation. The mark of the beast, which it will be coming in the middle of the tribulation period, they will be saying now an Antichrist will become the dragon, the beast. He would demand that if anybody, mama, daddy, sister, want to buy or sell or do business or have a bank account or have a checking account, you must receive a mark to recognize that you are a worshiper of the Antichrist, and the world will be so blinded because the world has rejected the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They have rejected the cross. They have rejected his suffering. They have rejected his miracle. They have rejected his birth. And so now they don't know the difference between the true Christ or the Antichrist. So now the Antichrist says, I am Jesus, and I demand that you worship me. And if you don't worship me, then you will see the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast, a lot of people have been fussing about that. Is it a mark? The Bible says it's going to be a mark. There's going to be a signet on your hand or on your forehead to identify your worship, that you are a real, you that you give what you will actually be worshiping the devil. And the Illuminati is investigated. The Luciferians and the Bible speaks of it as synagogue of Satan. It's Satan. This is Satan. This is Satan's way to get people to worship him, because that's what the devil wants. The devil wants you to worship him. How do you worship the devil? You worship the devil by sinning. You sin. You commit fornication. You you commit adultery, you become a homosexual, you become a liar, you become everything, and you disbelieve in the cross. When you disbelieve in the cross and you reject the cross, you become a worshiper of Satan, because there's nothing else to worship, and that is the devil, and that's what he wants. That's why the Bible says, watch out, because the devil is the greatest deceiver of all mankind. There is no other cherubim. There is no other seraphim. There is no other teraphim that God created that fell from heaven other than Lucifer. And since he fell from heaven, he wanted to be like God, talk like God, do God's miracle, and he's trying to bring it to earth. And he is going to bring it to
That's
earth
right.
because there's going to
Amen.
Be an invasion. There's going to be an invasion from planet. I don't know what planet it is, but there's going to be an invasion from first and second heaven. Demons, listen to me what I'm saying. Demons will
Lord,
actually invade earth before Jesus Ooh. Christ comes back. It sets on the Mount of Olives. The Bible tells me in the 12th chapter of Revelation, they tell me there was a war in heaven. And the war is preparing right now, because Lucifer is going to fight against Michael, and Michael is going to defeat
right.
Satan and cast him from the earth. And even the government right now is telling and going to announce to the people that there are aliens. There are aliens. These aliens are really identified as fallen angels, demons. And these demons are not all here yet, because there's a place called the bottomless pit in the ninth chapter of Revelation. In the ninth chapter of Revelation, John
Amen.
Said, I saw an angel come down and open a bottomless pit. And when he opened the bottomless pit, smoke came out. And out of the smoke came scorpions. And these scorpions had the face of a man and a sting in the tail, that men would want to die. God said, now listen, if you don't want my love and Savior, if you don't want my joy, if you don't want my sanctification,
That's right.
if you don't want my sanctification, and look what I've done for you, or you on the cross, if you don't want him, if you don't want the royal diadems, if you don't want the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if you don't want the slain lamb, if you don't want him, then I'm going to have to give you to the hands of Lucifer and all his demons, and these demons will sting me. They will sting me. And don't you know this is the year of the locust? The locust, the KDD is out. Amen. And let me tell you, there's some locusts in the heart of the right. Amen. I don't know, and I know they're not going to be let loose right at this time, but they're going to be let loose during the tribulation period. And I know we're not in the tribulation period, because the demons are not let loose yet. But when they let
That's
loose,
right.
they're going to sting. They're going to sting unrighteous men, sinful men, abomination men, lying men, blind
mm-hmm.
men, all kinds of men,
mm-hmm.
and women. Checks God's love, his long suffering that God did for us. Men are going to see what Satan is really like, and they're going to sting men for 5 months that they will want to die. But you die. This is Revelation, sisters and brothers. This is not no
That's
Mickey
right.
Mouse. I'm not talking about Donald Duck. I'm not talking about Flintstones. I'm talking about judgment. And see, God
That's
don't
right.
let the world go. 6,000 years. 6,000 years. God has gave man an opportunity beyond, as they say, amazing grace. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. And God done gave man grace for 6,000 years. Now it's coming to a point where God's saying, I see it, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. 420 years continually. He preached Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He preached January, February, March. He preached that for 120 years that he was going to flood. And here the brother and I is preaching for 20 years. I've been preaching for 57 years. And I've been telling folks, man, receive Jesus Christ is coming back again. He's judging the world. Come on, man. Let that pretty woman go. Come on, man. Turn from that sex odyssey. Come on, man. Come from that pornography. Turn from those wicked doings that you have.
That's
and
right.
call on your sins and knees. And call on the name of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't receive him, I can't do nothing for you. But I can do something for you now. I can tell you there is nothing name given among men where men can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about
that.
Two witnesses. We're going to talk about the return of Jesus Christ, that the battle of Armageddon will be fought on the turf in Jerusalem. And that's why, my God, that's why the Hamas and Hezbollah is trying, and the nations of the world is trying to overthrow and destroy the Jewish nation. They're trying to get rid of Jerusalem. They're trying to take control of Jerusalem. And men today believe that they can take over the Jewish people and go into a Holocaust. But my God tells me the Jews is God's apple of his eye. And he said, I cannot return until my people is in the land. And the Jews now are in the land of Israel. Uh-oh, look here. God got 10 tribes. He got 10 tribes that's been lost for years. What are the 10 tribes? The 10 tribes are the descendants of Moses. Moses married an Ethiopian. Oh, look here. He married a black woman. And when he married that black woman, he brought forth a son. And he went back into Ethiopia. And now you call him a Lot Jew. God Almighty. And they're coming back into the land. These are black Jews. And I know there's some black people in America saying that they're black Jews. But let me tell you, you're in the wrong area. You're in the wrong doctrine, because these Jews come from Moses. And then you got Solomon that had a relationship with Queen of Sheba, and he brought forth a son, and they went back into Africa. And that's another group of black Jews that's coming back to the land of Israel. Good God Almighty. God said, I'm going to bring all my Jewish people. I'm going to bring all of Israel, and I'm going to deal with them during the tribulation period, and they're going to preach the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And at the end of the tribulation period, after the Jews are back in the land, God is going to come back to this earth. And he's coming back with who? He's coming back with the church. He's coming back with the born-again believer. He's coming back with the sanctified one. He's coming back with all nations and kingdoms and tongues and languages that have received Jesus Christ. And when they come back, guess what we're going to ride? We ain't going to ride no donkey no more. We ain't going to ride no camel no more. We ain't going to ride no mule no more. We're going to ride on white horses. And we're going to come back in the cloud. The sky is going to open back from the east to the west, and Jesus Christ is going to come back, and when he comes back, he's going to judge the world at the battle of Armageddon. And that's when all the armies of the world,
amen,
including America, they're going to meet at a valley called Armageddon. And General W. MacArthur, one of the greatest men of all time, in 1944, ooh, hallelujah, praise our God. He knew something about Revelation 19, chapter 11, verse. He said, listen here, to the Japanese, to all the nations of the world, he said, unless we find a more equitable way to settle our difference and get this thing right, that we can live together, that we can commune together. If we don't do that, the next stop is the battle of Armageddon lies at our front door. And let me tell you, our battle of Armageddon is getting ready right now. And these UFOs, they are going to announce pretty soon, the government is going to come out in the open, and they're going to admit that they have had relationships with these alien beings, which are demons. People are possessed with devils. Why do you think people are going around shooting 8, 9, and 20 people out of nowhere? These are demons. These are devils. These are wicked spirits that have gotten control of a human being and been filled with possessions of demons and devils that don't care nothing about nothing. They don't care if you're a baby. They don't care if you're black. They don't care if you're white. They'll shoot you, kill you, murder you, rape you, do anything. These are demons. These are the prince power of the air that workers in the children of disobedience now. And so we're living in that time right now. And the good God, amen, I tell you, look up. Look up. Don't be dependent upon the Illuminati. Don't be dependent upon the secret society. These are demons organizations. This is how the devil works, through organizations to make it look good. They make it taste good. They make it feel good. But let me tell you, it's damnation to your soul. The only hope that you have for your soul. Woo! Listen to what I'm saying. The only hope you have for your soul is the shed blood of Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, became a man, and that man's name was Jesus Christ. And he had a blood system, and that blood system was holy, righteous, without sin. No blemish up on him. He knew no sin, but he became sin. Good God Almighty.
Amen.
He took my sin, your sins, the sins of the world. He took the sins of the Jews, the Gentiles, the whoremongers, the liars. All men have sinned against God, and God
That's
said
right.
nobody is able to die but me, and he did it through his son, Jesus Christ. And here we are. Here are people going to church, believing good works can get you to heaven, believe education can get you to heaven, believe
That's
that
right.
my mom and my daddy, I can get a free ride off of them. You can't get no free ride off of nobody.
Amen.
The only free ride you can get, you got to come on down and fall down on your sin, bend your knees, and repent of your sin and tell Jesus Christ, I am a low-down, dirty, rotten, unsaved person that needs your love, needs your mercy, needs your joy, and needs your salvation. And don't you think because you have been in the church for 40 years, 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, just because you are an office, just because you're the secretary, just because you're the doorkeeper, you still have to be born again. Woo! You're going on about what you wear and how good you look in clothes. I don't care how good you look. You look like an angel come from heaven if you haven't been born again, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're going to die and go to hell.
Lord have mercy.
Unforgiven sins. You have never accepted the mercy of Jesus Christ. We will be covering the two witnesses, and I'm going to give it back over to the brother. The two witnesses, which is Moses and Elijah, will be coming back to make the last call the last 3.5 years. The 3.5 years consist of 1,260 days, 3.5 times. It was 42 months. That the Antichrist will be rebelling against these two witnesses because these two witnesses are going to preach the gospel in the last 3 years, and they will be telling the people that Jesus Christ is coming back and he's going to set up a millennial kingdom. Nobody will be able to touch them, and it will be televised. I don't say this once before. I'll say it's going to be televised on the TV, on the Internet, on Instagram, on Twitter. It's going to be on Facebook. People ain't gonna be able to get no station without them getting the station of what's going on in Jerusalem. Because the Jerusalem, that great city that Jesus Christ was born, that city in which he suffered and died, that city in which he healed the sick and raised the dead, cast out devils, that city in which he will rule and reign for 1,000 years in Jerusalem, when he come back, he's going to come back and set up his millennial kingdom, and the two prophets will set it up for him. And when they set it up, the world, the demons and the devils and the Antichrist will try to get rid of the two witnesses by killing them, but nobody will be able to kill them until the final 3.5 years are over. And these demons and these devils that's going to try to defeat Jesus Christ, they're a line wonder. They have already been defeated. Calvary's cross, not at
that's
the
right.
First Baptist Church, not at the Church of God in Christ. I defeated the devil when I came to Jesus Christ. And
that's
looked
right.
at the cross. When I looked at the cross, I saw my sins. Oh, I saw my sins hang up there with Jesus Christ. And he told me, I forgive you, Bazaar. I forgive you. Accept me. I forgive you of all your sins so you won't have to perish. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you now, brother, you need to know. Sister, you need to know. Wino, you need to know. Jesus Christ is your only hope in a dying world, because it's not going to get no better. It's not going to get no better.
Right.
And you know something? I forgot to pray, brother, so I'm going to say a short prayer right now. Amen. And then I'm going to turn it over to you. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this afternoon. We thank you for this brother that's being with me, and he can be a witness for me. We know that you're already a witness. We know that the word of God is a witness. We know that the spirit of God is a witness. Lord, let us preach this gospel with uncompromising word of God that men must come to Jesus Christ right now in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Okay, brother, you got it. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. Awesome.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, it's good, amen, to be, amen, a child of the Most High King.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, brother.
Amen. It feels good, amen. I was just saying just the other day, I was just saying to myself that God can bless me to be a trillionaire today, amen. I still desire for his son to come back and get me, amen, to be with him for all eternity.
Yes,
amen. Amen.
Yes,
none of the riches, not all the riches in the world, amen, can deter me from my Heavenly Father and his Son, my Lord
That's
and
right,
Savior,
brother.
Amen, and his Holy
That's
Spirit.
Right,
we long to dwell with him, for the greatest gift to mankind is eternal life. Amen.
Yes.
It does no good for you to gain all this and die the next day. Amen. You can have it all, but if you die and lose your soul,
if
it's
you
all
die.
For nothing. Amen. It's all for nothing.
All for nothing.
So I thank him for saving my soul. I thank him for saving my
wife,
my family, my household.
Yeah.
We are praying for you all today. Amen. If you're straddling on the fence, amen, straddle no more, because he loves you. I love you.
Yeah.
Your brother loves
yeah.
you. Amen. We want you to come to God. And as he said before, this ain't no joke. This ain't no Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck.
Yes, sir, brother.
This ain't no cartoon. This is the real deal. This is real stuff that we're
real.
Dealing with. Amen. God is real. As for certain as you can
God
see those clouds
real.
In the sky. Amen. And as for certain
Amen.
As you can see the green, pretty grass and the green trees, God is real. Amen. He is
real.
Coming back. There will be a day of reckoning. Don't you think that these people out here that is killing and murdering and on behind the scenes and the governments and the world powers that are just doing things about them, that they're going to get away. They will not escape.
Not get away. No escape.
Waiting on them. Amen. Hell is waiting on them. In fact, the scripture said that hell shall enlarge itself. Amen.
Enlarge yourself.
So hell has been enlarging itself thousands and thousands of years. Amen. Many have gone in the way of deceit. Many have lost their souls. And why you still have a chance? My dad used to always say, as long as you got breath in your body, you got opportunity to become saved. And don't let that opportunity pass you by, because you will stand before the great white throne.
Yes, you will.
The Heavenly Father. Amen. You will stand. I guarantee you, you will stand before his throne. And you're going to have to be judged of everything in this body that was done. Amen. Amen. See,
yes,
when you are saved, we don't have to worry about that. Amen. See, the way it works is the things that I do for Christ, I will be rewarded for. And the things that I don't
Amen.
Do for Christ, it'll be burnt up. He said we can't use that. Amen. And he said what?
Amen.
Amen. That you will be rewarded. And he said that only what you do for Christ shall last. It don't matter about your name, your last name, your degree, what school you went to, how big a house you live in, what prestigious neighborhood you live in, what prestigious club you belong to, what college you went to, how much money you make, how many cars you have, what type of car you drive, how big your house is, how big your bank account is. Only what you do for Christ will last. Nothing else matters. Amen. Will last for all eternity.
Eternity.
I'm grateful for my salvation. Brother, I'm grateful for you. Amen. We love, amen, the brothers and the sisters.
Grateful to you.
And we want them to receive salvation. My desire
amen.
Is that what? Amen. Israel be saved. That's what Paul said. Paul, my desire that Israel be saved. And they said that if Israel be lost, Jacob will not lose his reward.
Woo!
Amen.
Woo!
Amen. So, amen. If you
Hallelujah.
Be lost, amen, me and the brother amen, the minister elder will not lose our reward. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So that's what we long for him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. It's the same thing at your graduation, what they call a commencement ceremony, whatever they call
yes,
it. When you walk across that stage, it's congratulations. It ain't you missed this many days, you made this grade. It's you have made it. That's what it's like when you go to heaven, when you set the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to judge the righteous. The angels are going to rejoice at your salvation, that you made it over, that you made it into heaven. And that's what counts. We want you to receive salvation, amen. The brother was talking about the Battle of Armageddon, amen. We know that World War III is brewing. It is brewing. Will be a World War III, amen. And if you remember Revelation, the sixth chapter, amen, it talks about the red horse. Now, you think about the red horse. Amen. We believe that one of the red great powers of this world, which is China and Russia, could be both of them, could be one of them. But we know they're going to play a great role in the World War III. Amen. World War III will not last that long because the Antichrist is going to come in and he's going to negotiate. Amen. He's going to come in and dictate. He's going to come in and talk them out of destroying one another. Amen? But World War III is going to be some lives lost. It's going to cause something. Amen? Because we know that with the world powers and the type of technology and the weaponry that they have, that something is going to happen.
Sir.
But the church will be gone. We will not be here when World War III kicks off. We don't have to worry about none of this stuff. We will not be here. And on earth, we will be in heaven. Amen. We will be seated with Christ at that time. That is our reward for our faithfulness. Amen. Repent and come to the Lord. Amen. So the brother was talking about the Battle of Armageddon. We do know that that's going to take place, which is known as the Battle of Megiddo or Armageddon.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so this battle is when all the world powers are going to get together, and they're going to try to battle against Christ. Lord, have mercy. Lord, they just don't know. Amen. Brother, they just don't
know.
Amen. How powerful a God we serve. Amen. Our God is so powerful. Amen. In fact, show you how powerful Christ is.
Go ahead.
Amen. I want to show you what John showed us, amen, in Revelation. I believe it's the first chapter. Let me see if I can find that chapter in Revelation, the first chapter. Amen. I don't want to guess the verse, so let me get over there real quick. But I got to share this with you. Amen. There we go. Revelation, the first. This is Revelation, the first chapter, verse 17 and 18. John said, and when I saw him, this is John saying, amen. And he's referring to Christ. When I saw him, he's talking about Christ. John said, I fell at his feet. Amen. Now, I have been blessed and fortunate not to see anyone die, amen, visually with my own eyes. I don't need to see that, amen. But I've seen a person faint, and I've seen a person get knocked out, amen. And they have no bodily control. John is saying when he just simply looked at Christ, that is the power of God that no man can
look
at. God, because he is so powerful, so holy, so righteous. John said he fell at his feet as dead.
Hey.
He says as dead. He didn't say he was dead. He was dead, meaning he had no control over his body or his capabilities. And then it says, and he laid. Now watch what Christ did to John. This is why we don't have to worry. This is love. Watch this. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, and watch what Christ tells John, fear not, Lord have mercy. He is on our side, and we are on his side. God loves you so much that he don't want you to fear him. He loves you so much that he wants you to be with him. Now, think about that. An almighty, powerful God, and the brother just said how filthy and dirty and nasty and evil we as men, Paul even said himself. Paul said, there is none righteous.
No, not one.
I'm not better than any man or woman walking on this planet because I preach the word or because I received salvation. I am not better than nobody. Paul said we are all, amen, as filthy rags. Amen. It don't matter about you being saved. Amen. You are just as filthy as the next person. You are no better than the next man. Amen.
Nobody else.
Amen. I am no better than nobody else. That's why I don't look down on nobody. I show love. I contend to show love. That's what the church is supposed to do. We are supposed to show love to one another. But I'm going to come back and review that with the seven churches in a minute. I want to finish reading what John said about Christ. He said, fear not.
Fear not.
I am the what? First and the last. Lord.
And the last.
In other words, he said, I was in the beginning. He said, I've always existed. St. John, the first chapter. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, meaning that Christ, which is the intellect, he is the mind, the intelligence of God. He has always existed, amen? And this is what the Scripture is saying. Now, watch this. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Lord, have mercy. Look how powerful Christ is. And then watch what he says, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He said, I want you to see me that I have conquered death. Now watch what he says. He says, amen, and have the what? Keys of hell
and death.
Lord, how many?
Come on.
Can't no man or woman, amen, brag or boast or ever say that they have the keys of hell and death. Only Christ
can admit
that. Amen. He is so powerful that death and the grave couldn't hold him. That's what hell is. Hell is the grave. The grave could not hold him.
Right.
Amen. You go back, you look at all the powerful men and kings and queens and generals throughout history. Where are they? Their bones are laying out there in the dirt. Their bodies are laying out there in the sea. They are dead.
Yeah.
They are gone. Amen. But we know in the end that what's going to happen, Christ is going to call all those dead souls, amen, wherever they may be, the grave, hell, the sea, amen. Out of the pit, he's going to call the souls up, and they will be judged one by one. Lord, have mercy. You don't want your soul to be naked. You don't want to not be covered in the blood of Christ. Amen. I am so grateful for my salvation. Now I'm covered in his blood because you know what that means, that when I stand before him, he said, there is what? Therefore, now, no condemnation to them that are that love Christ. Amen. I don't have to worry about being condemned for the things that I've done in this life. He said, I have cast them in the sea. Lord, have mercy. In the sea of forgiveness. I am saved with salvation, not to boast or brag, nothing that I have done, because I can do nothing in and of myself. Amen. It's only by the Lord and his Son, amen, that has saved my wretched soul. Amen. That has saved me from my sin and from my evilness and filthiness. Amen. As the brothers say, with our filthy selves. Amen. And we are grateful for that he has saved us. Amen. And this is what John is saying. Amen. Because why? Amen. We want to be saved. We want to live for all eternity. We want to be with Christ. We want to show love to one another. This is what it's about. It's about loving one another, not looking down on one another and judging one another. Amen. It's about love. This is what God said. Amen. He said, for God, isn't that what he is, brother? He is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten Son, that whosoever, amen, believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. I am so grateful for salvation today. Amen. Amen. But we're going to deal with the seven churches just a little bit. Amen. 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 Is that all right? We just want to deal with the seven churches.
Just
a few of the churches. Amen. Amen. And so we want you all to know. Amen. Looking for my notes. Amen. Looking for my notes. Amen. If not, I'll come back later and get my notes. Amen.
I'll come back later.
Amen. Amen. We're going to deal with the church of the Laodicean church. Amen. But before I do that, I want to go to one of the first churches. It was the Church of Ephesus. There we go.
Yes, sir.
The Church of Ephesus. Amen. Amen. It had, the praise was hard work. Amen. This was one of the first churches. Amen. They're all of them of the early church. And every church, amen, we on all the churches today, we have characteristics of each one of these churches, whether it be criticism or praise. We all have that in all churches today. The Church of Ephesus had the praise of hard work and perseverance. Amen. But their criticism was they forgot their first love.
What does that mean?
Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. They got away from the basics, brother. Amen. The basics, the signature of a saint is love. Amen. We got
love.
To continue to show love. Amen. You love the word.
Yes,
you read the Bible all the time when you first got saved. You would hug the brother and the sister. You would shake hands with the brother and greet the sister and speak to the sisters. Amen. You would come to church on time. You wouldn't miss Sunday school.
Yes.
You wouldn't miss evening night service. You would sit there and listen to the pastor the whole sermon. You love God so much. Amen. You even slept with your Bible under your pillow. Amen. You loved him so much. Amen. But the scripture said that they had forgot their first love.
Love.
Amen. A lot of brothers and sisters have forgotten their first love. Amen. They've gotten away from coming to church on time. They begin to backbite and talk about one another. Amen.
Come
they
on now.
To not show up to Sunday school no more. Wednesday night Bible study wouldn't show up. And the world became more important. The job became more important. They lost their first love. Amen. Amen. But the exhortation is to repent. We are to repent and get back to what? Our first love. Amen.
Ooh.
Get back to reading your Bible every day, not just picking it up when you head to church on Sunday, but pick it up every single day and read the Bible. Amen. Amen. Show love to the brothers and sisters. That's right. Speak the word. Amen. Show the brothers and sisters love. Preach the word. Teach the word. Amen. But this is what the Church of Ephesus was doing. Amen. They had strayed away from the basics. And this is the problem with the church today. We have strayed away from the basics. I mean, we got caught up into man, what man say, and man's standard of what praising God is about. Amen. Instead of giving him the praise, we are so concerned about what people think and what people say about us instead of just doing what God said to do, being concerned about what God say, amen, instead of just being worried about the outside, amen. But this was the exhortation. Repent.
Yes.
And the reward was the right to eat, amen, from the tree of life.
Amen.
You will be rewarded. Amen, brother.
Yes,
I know you want to eat from the tree of life, brother. I want to eat from the tree of life. I believe it's good. I know it's good, brother.
Yeah.
Amen. So I can't wait.
Amen.
To eat. Amen. From the tree of life, brother. Amen. So with that being said,
amen.
If I go a little bit more. Amen. But I'm going to go over to you, brother. Amen. And that's the dealing with the first church of Ephesus. Amen. Verse 7 of Revelation 2 and 7 says, he that hath an ear, this is important. Amen. Let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches.
To the church.
To him that overcometh, I will give the eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. We thank you, brother, for that inspiration word on Ephesus. Ephesus was that church in court Paul wrote to and told him, he said, beware of wolves. He said, after I'm gone, beware of wolves and deceitful workers after I'm gone, because they will creep in on this Ephesus church. And they didn't lose their first love. They left their first love. In other words, they didn't love Christ like they were supposed to do at the first birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, them people went Holy Ghost crazy. Amen. They went outside and they preached that gospel. They preached that gospel so well and so firm that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And he's coming back. They preach it so powerful that 3,000 souls were baptized in that one day. And they had the Temple Mount. They had the Temple Mount for about 12 years. That's where the church would meet. at the Temple Mount, where the temple was, and they would be preaching that gospel. Paul would be arrested and put in jail, and they and the Lord would set them loose, and then they'll go out and preach some more. It was dynamite. Them folks didn't have no time to go to the gambling den. They didn't have no time to go down to the whole house. They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They didn't have no time to compromise with the world and join the worldly system and until they got to a point where they left their first love. When they left their first love, then they fell in a backslidden state. And since they fell in a backslidden state, Apostle Paul said, told them, put on the whole arm of God. Fight against the wiles of the devil, because the devil is seeking and roaring like a lion who he may devour. And he's been doing that all 2,000 years. The devil has been seeking to destroy the church of the living God. But Jesus said, on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my body. Undefeated. Jesus Christ is undefeated. You can't defeat Jesus Christ. Satan knows he can't defeat Jesus Christ. But he's trying to get the people to turn to another God. And there's no God but one God, and that's Yahweh. That's Yeshua. That's the one that suffered and died on Calvary's cross. And see, Satan attacked that church. He really didn't do what he wanted to do. So when he said, I'm going to move over to the church of Smyrna. And Smyrna was a persecuted church. And that's when he moved on over to Smyrna. He said, I got to get rid of these Christians. I got to get rid of them because they're changing the world. They're changing the world. Amen. How did they change the world? They changed the world by accepting Jesus Christ. If you want to change a community, let that community accept Christ. If you want to change your home, let Christ come into your life. He'll change your home. He'll change your avenue. He'll change the man that's behind the beer joint selling beer and selling whiskey and wine. Let him be changed. He'll turn that beer joint into a church. Why? Because he found something that can't change. No, he found something that's nothing like being drinks. Amen. Some people say, preacher. When you got saved, did you stop drinking? I don't know. I didn't stop. I just switched bottles. I drink living water now. Living water is different from all of these other kind of spirits that people are drinking. They get drunk. If you want to get drunk, real drunk, let the Holy Ghost fill you. Man, you be staggering just like those folks come out the day of Pentecost. They were staggering. They were speaking in other tongues. And folks were saying, why are these folks learning this language? They're Galileans. We don't know what they how do they know that? We know what they're saying. And what were they saying? They were saying Jesus Christ, the one that you crucified and hung on a tree, died and suffered for about 10 years. About 10 years. The Smyrna was persecuted. They burned Christians. They hung Christians. They took them to the lion arenas, and they let lions eat them up. They turned them upside down. They stripped them, and they put them in iron maidens. They boiled them in oil. They did everything they could to get rid of the church, because Satan said, I can't stand the church of the living God. I can't stand the sanctification. I can't stand the justification. I can't stand the living holy. So what I'll do, I'll eliminate all the Christians. And the more they kill, the more people got saved during that Smyrna period. And the devil said, wait a minute. I'm killing saints, and more saints, the more I kill, the more I get saved, because people were wondering what kind of salvation. What kind of salvation that people would receive that's willing enough to give their life for the cause of Christ? I got to stop this.
That's right.
I got to stop this. He stopped persecuting the church. And so what he did, he said, what I'll do, I'll run over here to Pergamos and talk to Constantine. And Constantine said that he saw a dream, he saw a vision across in the sky, and that he would become a Christian. And when he saw that cross, he took his men down through the river and baptized all of them and said, now we are Christians, and we're going to go and make Christianity a state religion. And when he made Christianity a state religion, guess what? The world came in and began to compromise. And when you compromise the word of God, you're in serious trouble, because there's no compromising word you can compromise with the word of God and let it go. The Bible says the word of God is sharper, quicker than any two-edged sword, cutting down to the bone and the marrow of the bone, and it will cut you up. It will make you a new creature. It will tell you exactly what you are, and the word of God will tell you you are low down. I got to say it again. You're a low down sinner. You don't know Jesus Christ. You don't know the blood. You don't know the justification. And so they tell me the compromising that Constantine made in his church. He began to compromise, and they begin to bring idolatry into Christianity. That's where you get all this year stuff today. People talk about Christianity is not the religion that Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship, an intimacy of a relationship between Christ and you. And when you have an intimacy relationship of being born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you get a thrill out of it. Oh, my God. Can I go to a little bit of, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go to male and female, let me get that straight now. Male and female, they get married and they have an sex experience. Amen. They have an intimacy and it brings forth a baby. And let me tell you, when you have a spiritual intimacy with Jesus Christ, it brings forth a baby. You become a baby in Christ. Ooh, you begin to cry. You begin to cry, Abba, Father. You begin to thank him. You begin to praise him. And you begin to do all this. This is Christianity, and idolatry ain't got nothing to do with it. But Constantine was the one that caused the world to compromise and the church to compromise with the church. So you got all kind of people coming in the church, unregenerated, naming the name of Christ, but have never had an experience with Christ. And that's why you talk about the Balaam that comes into the Balaam doctrine. The Balaam doctrine is when Balak told Balaam to go and curse the children of Israel. To make a long story short, that he couldn't curse the children of Israel for three times. And so he said, well, if you can't do nothing, we got a last alternative. We got a last way to get Israel to sin. We're going to get Israel to sin by having a party. We're going to have a ball. We're going to have a Ben Bad Quick. And we're going to invite the Moabite women. Oh, you talking about some good-looking women. Woo! Those women came on down there in Israel, and they began to meet the men of Israel, and it was illegal for a Jew to marry in another religion or another idolatry or another cult. And it was illegal. And so men saw these good-looking women. And I'm going to tell you something right now. The sin that's damning our young men and our young women is sex. Sex is killing our young men and killing our young women and causing them to go all kinds of odyssey of sin. And so what they did, they looked at these women, they began to play the music, and the music was soft, and the music was this, and the music was that, and they began to, you know, rub against each other, and pretty soon they were committing spiritual and physical fornication. And when they, with that, they compromised with Israel, and Israel sinned against God, and God got angry, and he got so angry that he told them, if they don't repent, I'm going to slay 24,000 men. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to slay them. Because they compromised with the world. They compromised with the church. And the world today, the church today, is compromising with the world. And you got people coming in there that's homosexuals and lesbians, right. And they ain't nobody saying nothing. They're saying it's all right, God, we'll forgive you of your sin. You're compromising, God, we'll forgive you of every sin that you have done if you repent. But if you don't repent, your soul will be damned. They're telling everything that the world is saying. They're bringing this old pop music and all this old jive time music, and they're trying to juice it up with all own instrument. But let me tell you, I'm a hymnologist. Amen. I'm going to stay with the hymns, because the hymns is a spiritual experience. Jesus Christ. A lot of these people talking about they say jumping and shouting, ain't had no experience with Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, a relationship is a sacred thing. It ain't no slam button. You do anything you want to. Amen. And God's going to be pleased with. So the Church of Pergamos is the compromising church. Then you got the third Church of Thyatira. And Thyatira was the church actually married the world. Married the world. Now you got people in there to teach you. You got people in there that's singing. Ain't nothing but a bunch of whoremongers. Amen. They're having sex. They're having all kinds of parties. They're going to gambling. They're lying and cheating. They're having sex with their own family, a relationship. They're having sex with the daughter, and they're doing everything. They tell me, and just come out of the Roman Catholic Church. Because let me tell you something, there's some saved people in the Roman Catholic Church, but majority of the Roman Catholic Church is the great whore that's mentioned in the Bible of the 17th chapter of Revelation. She sits upon the beast of the Antichrist with a cup in her hand, and she's drinking iniquity. And the church folks today is drinking. They're cussing. They're lying. They're cheating. They're wife swapping. The preachers are whoremongering and using everywhere they can get a woman. They were made with them. And the women coming in half naked, dressed with the bosom all out. They got a short dress on, and the man is looking at it. I don't care how much saved you are. Amen. You better watch out for the tricks of the devil, because the devil tells you. It's not good for you. So we got a holy church, and this holy church will be recognized in the book of Revelation during the tribulation period. And then you got the Church of Sardis. Sardis represents Protestantism, and Protestantism came in by Martin Luther. Martin Luther seen all this stuff that was going on in the Roman Catholic Church and the false church, that he took 95 theses and nailed it on Wittenberg's door, and by that he lost his life, because he rebuked the way they were living, because the Roman Catholic Church didn't let you read the Bible. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ really was the Son of God. They didn't believe in holiness, but they believed in loose living and doing everything you want to do. They believe in going to the priest and telling the priest all your personal business. And then they say, if you confess to the priest behind in the little booth, that you can get forgiveness. But that's a lying one. The only one that can forgive sins is Jesus Christ. And the reason why he was able to forgive sin, because he died for my sins and your sins. And no pope, no cardinal died for my sins. And all those that died, they're still in the grave. And we got one pope left, and that pope is Pope Francis, and he will be the Antichrist's spokesman for him during the tribulation. He's a false prophet. He's a false prophet. That's the Church of Thyatira. And the Church of Sardis is the Protestant church. And that's when the church Protestant broke away from the Roman Catholic doctrines. They said, no, there's no such thing as Israel theology. God is the Roman Catholic Church, God is true with the Jews and some of their teachings. And the Protestant came out from amongst them and told them, no, 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 God is not true with the Jews. The Jews are going to be restored. Amen. And the Protestants said, we believe in the rapture, and the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation period. And we believe that Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven. That's the biblical fundamental Protestant teaching. And now, some of the Protestants is not fulfilling to continue on. Jesus Christ, amen. God's word is from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And now, after the Protestant church failed God, he said, I got a few in the Sardis church that's faithful and true, that it will continue on with the eschatology and the end times preaching of the prophecy of the return of Jesus Christ. And I'm in that group. The brother right now is in that group, because we are going to continue to preach the continuation of the rapture, the tribulation period, the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the battle of Armageddon. We're preaching it now because it's getting ready to happen. And since it's getting ready to happen, we got to preach it. And then after the Protestant church is over, we have Philadelphia. And Philadelphia is the evangelistic church. Amen. And that is the church we got to come out. We got to come out from the walls. We got to come out in a little box. And come on now and get in the streets and bring people into the church. We got to quit trying to get behind the pulpit and preach a sermon and let the people go. We need to be concerned about the world outside and tell the world we're in here for one reason. We're in here to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, saved and sanctified, cleansed by his blood. And let me tell you something. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you won't have to tell, nobody will have to tell you how to live, because the Holy Ghost will live for you. If you let it live in you, if you let it talk in you, if you let it walk in you, you can do it in the grace of God. And so now we got the gospel being preached around the world through what? Television. We got iPods. We got all kinds of communication. And it will be preached. But the last church that comes on the scene is that church Laodicea. And that last church is those who are unregenerated, going under the name of Christ. And if you don't believe me, there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. If you say you're a Christian, you better be a real Christian if you say you know Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you something. There was a man, seven sons of Sceva, in the book of Acts. They heard Paul preach. They heard all them disciples preach. They heard the apostles preach. And they were looking at the miracles that they were doing. And they were so amazed at it. And so what they did, they got in their mind that they said, we're going to go out and start casting out devils. And maybe we can make some money out of this. And so they went out and started cast out devils. They met a devil one time. They met a bunch of devils one time. When they met these bunch of devils, these devils talked back to them and said, hey, Paul, we know. We know Paul. We know Paul is real. We don't like Paul. And we know Jesus. And Jesus was the one that cast out them 6,000 demons out of that man at the graveyard and went into the swine. And they say, hey, we know you, Jesus. Why did you come and torment us before our time? And they said, Jesus said, get on out of them. Get on out of that man and let him be in his right mind. And the demons say, let us go into the swine. They went into the swine. The swine, they say, hey, wait a minute. We don't want you. And they committed suicide. You know why? Because the world today is under a suicidal threat. People are killing themselves.
That's
why?
Right.
Demons. They don't have no hope. They don't live in
That's
sin
right.
for a while. Or they're living in a fast life. And the devil brings them down to a point that they don't believe they have no hope. And they give them the idea, kill yourself. And when you kill yourself, you know, amen, you know where you're going. You know where you're going.
Okay.
You're going to hell because you took your own life. You can't get forgiveness after you're dead. You got to give me forgiveness while you're alive. Amen.
Amen.
And so the last that's on the scene is Laodicea, and that's the church age we're living in. And that's why the Bible said, in the last days, there shall be a falling away.
That's right.
And that false way is in possession right now. And during the tribulation, it's going to become a greater falling away. And the falling away will be revived. Woo! We'll be revived after the church is gone. The falling away will be revived because God said, I got 144,000 Jews, and I have sealed them with the Holy Spirit. And they are going to be unified. They're going to be unified. They're going to be sanctified, they're going to be edified, and they're going to preach the first three and one half years, they're going to let the world know, and the Jews are going to recognize that this Messiah that they have rejected for the last 2,500 years is a Messiah that's coming back in power and in great glory. The seven churches of Asia Minor, I was able to cover that to give you a clear idea of this one world church will leak in during the tribulation period. It's already in the making now through the Roman Catholic Church because Pope Francis already been to Babylon, and he has initiated to tell the world we are going to get a united one world church where all religions will come together, making no difference what they believe in. They can believe in hocus pocus. They still can be in this church. They can believe Donald Duck and Goofy and believe all that cartoon religion that they got. They can unite together under this one one umbrella, which the Antichrist will be the main one. He will tell the world, I'm not worried about what you believe in. I want you to worship me. And if you worship me, you can have the commodity to buy and sell. Now, I got about seven different kinds of religions here. These are religions. We got the atheist church. The atheist church. We got the New Age church. We got the Buddha church. We got a church called Judaism. But Judaism is different from all the other occults because Judaism was instructed by God Almighty in the Old Testament to be a type and shadow of a battle sacrifice. They offer sacrifices of animals. And that wore out because animals cannot take away sin. The animal blood can only cover sin. And Jesus Christ said, now look, I got another way, amen, that's the only way and the unique way, and that is I'm going to sacrifice myself, my own blood, not the blood of lambs and turtle doves and goats and red heifers. I'm going to sacrifice my own blood because my blood is holy blood. My blood is sacred blood. My blood is so holy that it destroys sin. It eliminates sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. It eliminates sin in my soul and in my spirit. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no more a sinner. I'm a saint of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we got Shintoism. We got Mormonism. We got Unity Church. We got the Satanist Church. We got Taoism. We got the Luther Church, which is a Protestant church. And there's some saving the Protestants, and all of them ain't saving Protestants. We got the Christian Scientists. We got Jehovah Witness. We got the Nazarene Church. We got the Islam Church. We got the Fashionist Church. We got the Catholic Church. We got the Non-Denomination Church. We got the Church of God. We got the Baptist Church. We got the KKK Church, because they got their own, they got their own church. They say, well, we white, and we all the ones are going to heaven, and the blacks and the Hispanic and the Jews, they're going to hell. Well, see, that's Satan. That don't even exist in God's book because he died for everybody. Ooh, we got Nazism. We got Armstrongism. We got voodoo. And if I may say, hoodoo, too. And witchcraft. We got lesbianism and homosexual churches. We got churches now. Hey, man, if you love a man, go ahead and love him. We're still in the church. That's a lying wonder. Ooh. And they saying, Lord, Lord, just like anybody else. We got the apostolic church. We got the Church of God in Christ. We got Confucius Church. And we got the humanist church. All these denominations and many more during the tribulation period will unite together under the authorizationship of the Antichrist. He will be the head of his own church. And during the tribulation period, those people that hear the gospel of the Jewish people of 144,000 will have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. And that will bring in a great, unique, worldwide revival, where the whole world will hear the gospel. And Jesus Christ said the end shall not come until the gospel is preached to all the world. This will be the focal point. This will be the unique where it will be on televised. It will be beaming down from the 600 satellites that's in the sky right now will be beaming down the gospel of Jesus Christ through the 144,000 and through the two witnesses, and there will be a great revival. So many will get saved during that time that one of the elders said in the book of Revelation, hey, wait a minute, where did these come from and who are they? He said, don't you know where they come from? He said, no. He said, these are they that came through the great trials and tribulation with palms in their hand. These are the ones that got saved after the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is what I'm talking about. This is how God got a plan to receive people after the rapture of the church and to save people. It's going to get so dynamic that angels are going to preach the gospel. Three angels will preach the gospel during the last 3.5 years. And they will say, woe, 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 into the inhabitants of the earth, for judgment has come upon the planet. They will say to the world, fear God and keep his commandments. The world will hear this. You hear what I'm talking about? The devil don't like it. The devil said, no, if he do that, souls will be saved. Souls will come to Jesus Christ. Well, that's what I want. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. Now, let me tell you something, and I'm going to give it over to the brother. Those that hear the gospel now, from the elder or from anybody else, this same gospel that I'm preaching now and the brother's preaching, if you hear this gospel and you don't get saved before the rapture, this what you hear now will come to your memory. And you will say, I heard that preacher talk about the Antichrist. I heard this preacher talk about the 144,000. This must be what he's talking about. This is why the Bible tells the seven churches of Asia Minor, write down what you hear in the book of Revelation and send it to the seven churches of Asia Minor and tell the seven churches of Asia Minor, tell the world the revealing of Jesus Christ is soon to come to reality, and the world is going to remember that. People who hear this gospel but don't get saved can get saved after the rapture. But let me tell you something. Don't wait till after the rapture. Please, don't wait. You can come to Christ right now. You don't have to wait. You ain't going to miss nothing. Amen. Amen. If you go to hell, you're going to miss heaven. You're going to miss heaven. But if you go to heaven, you ain't going to miss hell. You ain't going to miss hell because, let me tell you, if you go to hell, you're talking about misery. You're talking about headaches and backaches. You're talking about diseases and all kinds of stuff. Man, if you miss heaven, you're going to have something worse than that. You're going to have to be tormented in the lake of fire forever. You're going to be tormented so bad that you're going to wish that you never, never was born into existence. You don't want to go that way. You don't want to go that route. And the devil ain't got nothing to offer you. What he got to offer you? Oh, yeah, a new car, a pretty woman, a whole lot of money, a land, a real estate, a fame. You ain't, oh, my God, it ain't worth it. When Jesus Christ has died and suffered for your sins, and you let it go, you're going to have to pay for your own sins. And you don't want to do that. Jesus Christ is the only hope we have. You need to accept him, whoever you are, wherever you are, what's your name, your status quo, whether you're black or white, yellow or green, pretty or ugly. And ugly to me is being a sinner. That's ugly. That looks ugly to God. That's ugly. And you want to know what ugly is? Ugly is when you walk in your sins and you deny and reject the blood of Jesus Christ. But to be beautiful is to know what the love of Christ is and know what it is that he did on Calvary's cross. You can come to him. You can come to him. You don't have to go to church to get saved. You don't have to be at a revival to get saved. You can get saved in your living room, in your bedroom. You can get saved sitting on the bathroom seat. Yo, good God Almighty. The Bible says you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Brother, you got it. You got it, brother. You got it, brother. Brother Elder. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise
amen.
God,
amen.
God.
There we go.
Amen. Amen.
But I'm just talking. Got my phone cut off. Hey, there we go. Amen.
Oh.
I stopped out. I'm just talking.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
You
all,
got
glory
it.
To, all glory be to the Most High. Amen. But I was just enjoying that listening to you. Amen. And so I was just saying, amen. Amen. I was just saying, Paul said in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 52nd verse, that's how fast it's going to happen. You don't have time to think. You don't have the time to guess. Amen. It's going to be too late. When you see it happen, it's going to be too late. Right now is the time. Like my dad used to say,
you got
blood in your body. And he used to say, under the sound of my voice, amen, go ahead and receive salvation. Salvation is the greatest thing that you could do for oneself. It's the greatest thing that you could do for yourself in this life. See, we've already we have already won. We've already defeated Satan. Like the brother said, we've already whooped Satan. We've defeated him. See, Satan is mad at us because he can't do nothing
to us. Yes, he is.
He can't call you to lose your salvation like some of these folks teach. That's a lie. He can't call you to lose your salvation. That's what the victory means. See, the victory means I've won. See, you can't win the Super Bowl and then turn around and lose it. No, that ain't how it works. If you won the Super Bowl,
you can't.
You won the Super Bowl. If you won the World Series, you won the World Series. If you won the World Cup, you won the World Cup. If you won the NBA playoff series, you won the NBA championship.
There is
no such thing as a loser in Christ. There is no such thing as a loser with God. God does not lose. I will not ever, ever, ever give Satan that much power. I was just telling
brother today.
I said, God doesn't have a nemesis. He has an enemy, but he don't have a nemesis. And you say, well,
come
what's
on.
The difference between an enemy and a nemesis? An enemy is somebody who's not with you. And if they're not with you, they're against you. And so Satan is not with God, therefore he's against God. All the people who choose not to believe and not be with God, they are God's enemy. They are against God. Okay? That's where we get the want to replace Christ, wanting to replace God, the anti-God. People want to be their own God.
Yeah.
Satan wants to be his
God. Right.
He wants to replace God. He wants to be his own. People want to do what they want to do. See?
Right.
People don't want their sins called out. Okay? That's an enemy of the Most High. Now, a nemesis is a rival. A nemesis is someone who can challenge you. And God has no nemesis. There is not a being in existence that could challenge God. God is so powerful that nobody can challenge him. Nothing can challenge him. Satan is not even a thought. God ain't even got to do nothing. And he can get rid of Satan. He can get rid of all the fallen angels. He can get rid of all the demons. He can get rid of all the unbelievers and don't even have to do nothing. That's how
powerful.
Don't have
to do nothing.
Amen. But because he loves us, amen, because he loves us, he gives us the opportunity to receive salvation. He gives us the opportunity to repent. He is patient. He is loving. He is kind. He is the God of a second chance. That's because he loves you. Amen. Amen. There's a time when God will wink at you and say, okay, I see you, but I'm going to give you a chance because I love you. That's how good of a God that we serve. Amen. And so
Amen.
We want you all to receive salvation. We don't want you to wait because as Paul said, he said that, behold, I show you a mystery. And the mystery is the church being caught up. See, that's the mystery. That's what everybody is aware of, is that the church will be gone. The children will be gone. That's the great mystery. The mystery on top of a mystery is we don't know when. Amen. See, we don't know when he's going to return to get the church. That's why he says to watch. Because if you watch
it,
amen, you know, amen, that when the hour comes, you'll be ready for when he comes.
Yes, sir.
When that sky, when that lightning hits from east to west, you'll be ready. It won't matter what you're doing. You can be asleep. You can be in your bed. You can be reading a book.
Yeah.
You can be working. But you will be gone. You will be with him forevermore. And the Bible says that you will have a seat. Amen. And that was one of the rewards of the Laodicean church, that they will be seated with Christ. We are in the last church. I want to be seated with Christ. I don't want to be down here with those demons. Amen. With the evil things that's going to be creeping and crawling on the earth. I don't want to be down here with the demons, the aliens, amen, which are demons. We don't want to be here with all that. We don't want to be here with the giants and all that. Amen. They've been talking about they got giants right now. Giants. You ain't hear what I'm saying. I'm talking about giants over 10, 15 feet tall, hidden. They got them since they've been here the whole time. Man, let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit, he ain't going to leave. He is going to step back. Lord have mercy. You're not going to be a part of this world. You think you want to be here. You think you're going to be partying and having fun. Oh, but you just don't know. The fun's going to be short-lived. They're going to be partying and when we go and say, hey, look, those do-gooders are gone. Those dogmatic people are gone. Those they judge us and tell us that our lives ain't right, that we're going to be in the lake of fire if we don't repent. We can do what we want. We got our own religion now. Oh, they're going to be cutting up. But, oh, it's going to be short-lived.
It's going to be short-lived.
And you don't want to be here. You think you want to be here.
You don't want to
be here. You think it's going to be some party, but it's going to be a lot of people who say, Lord have mercy. I wish I had got it right. But I'm talking about it's going to be it's going to be a lot of people going to say, what have I done?
What have I done?
Amen. With my mama, my grandmother, the pastor, the preacher, the minister, the evangelist was telling me to get it right before it's too late, to repent of my sin.
Yeah,
man,
turn from my
right
sin.
Now, it's going to be ugly. The judgment.
Yeah, you talking about ugly. It's
going to
be ugly.
That's right, it's going to be ugly. It ain't going to be no food. Oh, man, they just don't know. It ain't going to be no food. The scarcity of just
no water.
Yeah, no water. Oh man, you sure got to have water. You know you don't have nothing to hardly drink. But you know when food gets scarcity, man, people get crazy. You saw how it was
crazy
during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Man, folks was fighting stores.
Yes, sir.
You ain't hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Over hand sanitizer and toilet tissue, they was ready to kill somebody. Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Take another person's life over some toilet tissue and some hand sanitizer. So can you imagine what it's going to be like? You think the stores didn't have water last year? I know we went to the store and we couldn't find water. No, we were like, man, what is going on? People were
What's going on?
Amen. And I don't know about nowhere else, but down here in Texas, man, they buying up these storages and throwing up these storage houses and buying these big, large bins and crates. And they just loading them up, loading it up with dry food and groceries. And I'm talking about, I work for the bank, so I know.
Everything.
These folks are spending. I'm talking about people got money in their bank. I'm talking about money. Half $1 million, $200,000.
$1 million.
$100,000. $1 million account. Man, they buying up stuff. They traveling, buying up stuff. Buying up meat.
Yes, sir.
Buying up food, buying up water, buying up tissue, buying up something. They getting ready, buying up bullets, buying up guns. They just buying. But let me tell you right now, something is about to go down. I was talking about the bunkers.
Something going down.
Amen.
Yeah.
I talked about the bunkers earlier that they have. The people buying. See, something is going on. Somebody knows something. Somebody's doing some talking.
Somebody knows something.
Somebody knows something, brother. They buy.
Yes, they do.
My brother was saying that this one man dug a big old pit and put his trailer house in the pit, like a little trailer. Say that's gonna be his bunker. Man, let me tell you something. You're not gonna want to be. You think it's gonna be man that you're gonna have to worry about, but man, let me tell you, you're not gonna want to be here on this planet when it all kicks off.
No, you don't.
Lord have mercy. All I can remember, this is why, this is one of the main reasons why the children won't be here. The children ain't got to worry about it. They won't
come
be
on.
Here.
That's right.
There's going to be these hard-headed adults that had the opportunity, had the chance. My gosh, I remember talking to this lady in Mississippi. She said, Tim, she was from Mississippi. She said, ain't no jobs down here. Ain't no food. She took the last of her money. She had like $200 when I bought her clothes down here. It's getting crazy. And a lot of these little small towns, a lot of people abandoning these towns and running to the city because the city got jobs and abundance. But
Yeah.
Hey, man, they running. But after a while, guess what? Man, when Christ come back to get the church, you think the world's going crazy. All when the saints are gone.
Amen.
When the saints are gone. And when their children are gone, oh, man, it's, people are going to cut up.
Cut up.
I'm so
like
grateful
never before.
For salvation. Like never
I'm so
before.
Grateful.
That's right. Daniel said it. He said there has never, it has never been a time like it, nor to this time, nor after this time, or after
ever
that
shall
time.
Be. Yes, sir.
Ever shall be.
Yes,
nor
sir.
After the tribulation. That's just 7 years.
Not
70 years. Not 700 years. Not 7,000. Just
seven years.
It's going to be horrible. Trees going to be burning. Bills going to be. Man, you think about the forest fires in California. Most people here in Texas from California said they got tired of that. They just left. But people don't understand that. That wickedness follows you. See, it ain't got nothing to do with the land itself. It's because of wickedness. People being ugly. All the stuff they're doing out there in California and Hollywood, all the stuff that they're just doing, that stuff follows you. We tell them don't bring that stuff to Texas. Hey, man, we don't want that here. Don't bring it with you. See, it follows you. See, the land ain't the problem. The earth ain't the problem. Man is the problem.
Man is the problem.
That's right.
Man is the problem.
That's it. When you see people turn their backs on God, that's when you see judgment.
That's what you see.
We got to praise God and give him all the glory. We got to continue
Amen.
To speak the word in season and out of season. We can't give up. We can't stop. Amen. We have to fall asleep sometimes studying, but we got to burn the night oil late.
Yes, sir.
This is what it's about. Let's work.
This is what's going on.
Amen.
This is what's going on.
What's
Amen.
Going on? There's homelessness, man. We've never seen so many people in Texas. I didn't know what was going on. I ain't never seen so many people in Texas walking the street. Living in tents, on the bridge, out in the field, out in the park. People sleeping all in their car. People got clothes in their car. People just homeless. I'm seeing it. People got hangers in their car.
Nationwide.
Like, Lord, I ain't never seen nothing like this.
I know.
Homeless. People are homeless.
Homeless.
Buying tents, buying bags. You go to the store, you can't find tents and bags. People can't find travel bags. Amen. The separation between the rich and the poor. All glory be to the Most High. The separation between the rich and poor is happening again. And I tell people all the time, when tragic strikes, who gets the worst of it? First of all, poor man gets the worst of it.
Yes,
and
he does.
The minorities get the worst of it. But the poor man, the people who ain't got the money, they get the worst of it.
They get
Lord
the worst of it.
They get the worst of it. And that's what you're seeing right now. The people who are just barely making it, just one paycheck away. When the pandemic hit and they had no job, apartment, I have talking to people, said they were living out of the car, lost their job, lost their house, lost their car. People, the people who are the landlords and stuff like that, they were putting people out of the house. I remember one lady said that she had just caught up from the stimulus money, gave all her stimulus money to pay her bills up. And the man still put out. I said, that's wrong.
Whoa.
That's wrong. That's evil. That's wrong.
Yeah. Evil.
Evil. But you think people not going to pay for all this evil? Cutting up. I'm talking about, man, folks out here road raging, people out here killing folks over nothing.
Killing folks over nothing.
That's right.
Damn.
Young people. Yeah. Young people down here in Texas, they got so bad, they ramming in the stores.
Yeah.
Trying to get what they can get. I'm like, Lord have mercy. Boy, these folks have lost their mind.
Lost their mind. Demons,
amen.
Brother, they're working demons.
Demons, that's right. Demons. Letting the demons just use them, just control them, just have their way.
Yes, sir.
The
that's
brothers,
what's happening.
But that's right. But we have to stay prayed up as the church. We have to continue to pray for the lost. Amen. We want the lost to become saved. And there are people becoming saved. Don't think that our work is in vain.
It's
not. Amen. I met a young brother just the other month. Me and my wife went out to eat. He said, I just discovered Christ. I just discovered God. He said, I am on fire. He said, I can shout out on the mountaintop. I said, I know that's right. He said he just found
right.
A young man in his 20s. All glory be to the Most High. So the work is working.
Yeah.
There are people coming to the kingdom. Amen. I tell people the pandemic was a blessing. It really was, because it humbled
That's the truth.
Man,
that's the truth.
It humbled a lot of people. Man, y'all don't know how much people were cutting up out here. It humbled a lot of people. Got scared. I'm talking, man, I worked for the bank, man. People wasn't coming in cussing and talking and crazy no more. They thought they were going to die. That's how you know there's a God. They know that there's a God. People ain't crazy. Because when something tragic happen, who's the first person they call on? God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, if there's a God. Now if there's a God. But the other day, you were just so for certain and so for sure that there was no God. Just the other day. Because something tragic happened. Because you lost your house. You lost your good job.
Yes.
Now you want to call on. Now you want to say if there is a God. But the other day, you were just for certain there was no God. The pandemic was a blessing in some way. Now, I'm not saying that to mean to those that have lost their hope.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying to be mean to those who have been sick. I'm not saying that.
No.
I'm simply saying
it's
that a lot of people have turned around and repented. So what I'm basically saying is you've got to take the good along with the bad.
Amen.
For whatever situation or storm we go through, we have to give him all the praise and all the glory. And I'm thankful for those that have decided to change their life. Because they don't know what they've just done, most of them. But they're going to be blessed.
Praise.
And when Christ come back to get the church, they won't be here. They won't have to go through that's about to hit the earth. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Judgment. You think that first 3.5 years is going to be something? Oh, man, that first 3.5 years is going to be rough. But, man, when the rest of the day of the Lord hit, when Christ, those vials, those bowls.
Yeah,
those vials,
those bowls. Yeah, seven thunders.
Lord, and then there's some things that we don't even know going to happen. My God.
Exactly. My God.
Man, I don't want, brother, I can tell you.
Jesus.
Elder Bazaar, Watchman on the wall, I'm glad that we are saved. Brother, I'm glad that I'm grateful for your ministry and your word and your knowledge and your tenacity. I thank the Most High for you. I learned a lot. Amen. That's why I enjoy being on here with you. Brother, I don't mind.
I enjoy
this
being
is a
with you too, brother.
My soul. Amen. And it don't matter. The Bible says, well, there are two or three gathered.
Gathered in his name.
Amen. That's right. Amen. I told him, I said, Amen, I don't care if it's 25 people. Amen. When I used to preach, I said, I don't care if it's 20. I'd be happy if it's 25 people. If it's 50 people, if it's 100 people, if it's more, that's good. But, amen, I'll be happy just, amen. I remember I was in this church. I said, man, that don't matter to me. All I care about is your soul. I want you to become saved. I don't want your soul to be lost because, man, no man interpret hell. Can't no man handle hell, and you sure can't handle the lake of fire. Lord, have mercy, because the Bible says that hell was created for Lucifer in the fallen angels. It was not created for man. That's all in the book of Jude. He did not create hell and the lake of fire for us. In the book of Enoch, it was created for those angels that rebelled against God because they knew better.
That's right.
Read the book of Enoch. Them angels, let me tell you something. Now, you know if the angels are afraid of what's coming, Lord have mercy. If the demons are afraid of what's coming, them angels are terrified. They told Enoch, can you please go to God, go to the Heavenly Father, amen, to let us loose. They were afraid.
The angel told them no.
The angel stopped them right there and said, no, you ain't got to worry about that.
No.
They knew what they was doing. There ain't no need for you to petition. He said, go on back down there and tell them. No, they're going to be bound.
No.
And they're going to be still over their eyes so they can't see. They're going to be placed in darkness until the end of time. Lord, have mercy. Till the end of time.
Then they'll
be let loose. Amen. And then they're going to be judged. Lord, have mercy. God Almighty.
Yes.
Amen.
God
brother,
is
amen.
Good.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, brother. Then I'm going to speak on,
salvation.
Go ahead, brother.
Yes. Yeah. We thank for that information that you gave us all through the sessions that we have. I hope we have got an understanding to the people of what's getting ready to happen. 800 FEMA camps. Amen. They're working on the 800 FEMA camps
in different
parts of the east part of the United States. There's a few out west. They got a few FEMA camps, and these are closed Walmart. They're going to use Walmart for FEMA camps. That's why they don't close a large amount of Walmart stores because they're going to use. And I think some people who have been on the street, they got some of them locked up now, and they're taking care of them. But we're getting ready for the great Holocaust that's going to hit America.
That's right.
And that is persecution is coming in that middle of that tribulation period. Persecution is coming. It's going to get so bad where people will go into cannibalism. They're going to be eating human beings. There's going to be people who are so possessed with these demons and these fallen angels that they're going to try to kill themselves and stab themselves and put guns to their heads and shoot each other, and they're going to still be able to walk around. So we're in a terrible situation, and people are just gullible on anything that sounds good to the ear. They don't want to hear the truth because this is coming. This is coming whether you like it or not. I don't like it coming because a lot of people are going to be lost, but it's going to come anyway, whether I like it or not. Because I detest. I don't want nobody. Now, this is me, and I know it's you, Brother Tim. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I don't.
That's right.
As I told you before, if I knew could give you a direction to Timbuktu, I'll tell you to go there, but I can't tell you to go there because you ain't gonna get what God has already given the angels is a eternal destruction. And if you want to follow the devil and believe all these old crazy lies and think God is dead and think he's crippled or he's senile or he's in a mental ward, if you believe that crap, then I can't do nothing for you. But you got to come to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the loving Savior. He loves you so much. And there's no man on this planet that can love like Jesus Christ. There's no man on this planet that I know that would die for me because he can't die for himself. And he's a sinful creature. And since he's a sinful creature through Adam and Eve, and Satan said, well, if I can't get back on the throne of God, and if I can't be like God, I'm going to try to be like God and I'm going to try to damn his whole creation. So I'm going to get all those who believe in me and trust in me and rely on me. And if they can, if I can get them away from the cross, I don't want the cross around. The devil, he's terrified at the cross.
Right.
He's terrified at the cross. Although some people have slandered the cross, but I'll tell you what you do. Take the cross and turn it upside down and put your hand on it. And you got a sword. And if you reject the Christ, if you reject the cross is going to become your judgment. You're going to be cut down by the wrath of God, by the cross, because you rejected. Your mama rejected. Your daddy rejected. Your uncles and aunt rejected. The movie stars reject him. The rich folks reject him. The poor folks reject him. And when you reject God's love, that's what you're rejecting. God loves you so much. He didn't have to do this. He could let the whole world go to hell, but he said, no. They made after my likeness and after my creation, and they look like me, they talk like me, they have what I have, and I want to give them holiness. I want to save as many as want to be saved, and that is the job of the preacher. That is the job of the prophets. That is the job of the seers to tell the people, look, don't go nowhere. And one place don't go to hell. Christ has already conquered hell and death. The brother read Revelation, he got the keys. He got the keys to the door of hell and death. And he can close it and he can unlock it. Ain't no other man on the planet, no other man on the other side of eternity.
That's
got
right.
That kind of power but Jesus Christ. Amen. He's Alpha and he's Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the shepherd.
Right.
He's the bread of heaven. He's the water that you never go thirsty. He's your mother when your mother's gone. He's your father. What you talking about, man? He's everything. He's everything that's right. And I tell you one thing, if you in prison or you in jail or you at home and you on drugs, let me tell you, let him become your redeemer. When he becomes your redeemer, he can stop. He can stop that stuff that the devil got you doing. Because that's all it is. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you can't get victory over it until you go to the cross.
That's right.
Why I say, and I'll say it right now, any church that don't lift up the name of Jesus and lift up his crucifixion and lift up his birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's not a church.
Because
the cross, listen to me, the cross is a center of the whole humanity. The cross is a center of the Bible. The last book in the Bible in the Old Testament was Malachi. The first book in the New Testament was Matthew. And Matthew is actually a part of the Old Testament. And you say, why, what you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about because the New Testament was not verified, certified, sanctified until the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have a test, if you have a tester and the testator is not resurrected, you don't have salvation. But when Jesus Christ came up from the, when he came up from the grave, good God Almighty, the paraplegics and paramedics and the hospitals everybody, if they would have got around the tomb, they could not bring Jesus out the tomb. He came out himself. And when he came out himself, he said, now I got power to save you to the uttermost. And the brother mentioned, I want to let people know out there, there is such thing as eternal salvation through Jesus Christ.
Right.
When Christ saved you, he saved you forever. I am a witness, and I'm not lying. It's the scripture in the Bible. He said, no man can pluck you from my hand. When you become a soul saved and you receive salvation, you're in God's hand, and the devil cannot touch God's hand. And you're in his hand. In his hand, God got you, son. So don't worry about losing your salvation. And when you say your salvation, you're not walking in the faith, because Jesus Christ got the victory. And when he got the victory forever for those that believe on his name. I want to let you know, I got this song I'm going to close with, and I close with it. The old rugged cross. There's no books. Listen, there's no books. There's no encyclopedia. There's no book a man could write that could explain the power in the cross. All the books in the world cannot explain the power in the cross. And that is changing men's lives from darkness into the marvelous light. And as I get ready to close, I got about 3 minutes. I want you to go out on this song, and you'll hear us next week. Amen. Next Sunday, you'll hear us on the 13th. And then the brother's going to come by again, and we're going to tell you about this loving Christ. This is Frank Williams singing The Old Rugged Cross. As we go out with this song, believe with your heart that Jesus Christ died. On this cross, Jesus died for our sins. I'll see
Amen.
You. If I don't see you here, I'll see you in the rapture. Brother Tim, I'll call you later on.
Amen, brother. All right. I'll be here.
All right.
God bless you, brother.
Can you hear that song?
Oh. So I said, cherish the old rugged cross. Keep my trophy and let I live down. So I'll reach out to the old cross. Yes, I will. And Lord, someday. Oh, that old rugged cross. Oh, despised by the world as the one just a distraction. Oh, oh dear, let